And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of Voices from the Grid. I'm Michael Lindenbaum, being joined by one of my several Power Ranger co-hosts, this time around, the Yellow Ranger himself, Mr. Brian Massey.
What's going on, everybody?
And of course, Brian, you get the Sentai side of things, correct? Unlike in Power Rangers, where in the Sentai for Geo Ranger, the Yellow Ranger is a guy.
Yep. It's a boy named Boy. Go figure.
Yeah. So with that said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to let you know that this episode was pre-recorded beforehand, and we actually had to redo the intros and the outros. So if it's a little disjointed, we do apologize. So with that, we hope you enjoyed the episode. So with that, we are going to be doing Second Chance and On Fins and Needles. And yeah, we're almost to the end, man. We're almost to the end. So with that in mind, we're gonna do everyone's favorite segment. In my mind, it's the quick run through of Second Chance, which we start off at the juice bar. Ernie posts the junior soccer team results, and poor Roger didn't make the team. And now we have a second tryout because sure, it's Power Rangers. Why not? At school, they talk about the Second Chance tryout, and Tommy is having issues with his communicator, and it causes him to lose it to Miss Appleby. At the park, Zach and Jason work with Roger, but the putties come and attack with a soccer match with the new monster. At the juice bar, the others get contacted and transported to Jason and Zach. Kim kicks a putty in the butt and then others in their shins. This really happened. She kicked one in the bootay, and then she kicked the others in the shin. Can't make it up. At the command center, Zordon briefs the Rangers on the new monster. Tommy hopes to get his communicator back. The Rangers morph into action and more new music. Better late than never. Tommy gets his communicator back and it's still malfunctioning. And he yells, "It's morphin time," really loud in the school hallway. So about that, keeping your identity a secret. Rita makes the monster grow, which then means Zord time, and the Rangers win. And then at the juice bar, Roger made the team and is captain of the second team. And that is Second Chance. Brian, your notes good, sir?
All right, thank you. So Second Chance originally aired on May 4th, 1994, which seems like forever ago. It was written by
just like how long it's been taking to record this podcast.
Written by Mark Litton, directed by Worth Keeter. Any notes that I have that aren't just my observations, I do take from powerrangers.fandom.com. So just a few things here. This is the final appearance of the Blade Bastard. This is the final appearance of the Blade Blaster Tower formation in season one. And then Sokka Dilla's destruction at the end of this episode looks like he should have been defeated by the Ultra Sword instead of the Power Sword. So there was a little gaffe there.
Don't want to overuse that Ultra Megazord.
Nope. Why would they? We don't want to sell toys.
Toys, what are those?
So this episode starts with Ernie picking out a soccer team, and based on the tryouts, this Roger kid is moping about not making the team, and then Ernie gets convinced by, you know, Jason and Zach, hey, you know, you could, you know, do something about this, and, you know, this has never worked for me when it comes to trying to get on a sports team, but you know what? Awesome. I'm glad for Roger. I'm glad he gets a second chance.
So for me, I actually do have an interesting story about that, though.
Yeah?
So, everyone who's listened to this podcast or anything else I've done know I play ice hockey, or I play hockey in general. And when I was in high school, I was actually cut from the ice hockey team tryouts as a forward. So I was cut as a forward, but they brought me back as a goaltender.
Oh, wow.
You know, when you're a kid, you dabble with all the positions. So, like, one season I actually did play goalie, and it was, like, what, sixth grade? Mm-hmm. I was goalie, and I was decent, but yet again, I had a really good team in front of me, so it's like that made me look good, but it wasn't my position. I was always a forward.
Right.
And, but, like, I got cut, as a forward and then brought back as a goalie, but I was put in a, unlike Roger, who was made captain of the team,
yeah,
you know, on his second chance. My second chance was like, you're never going to play. You're a third string goaltender. You're never even going to dress for the games.
Oh man, that sucks.
So it was like, so I actually do understand, like, yeah, kind of this a little bit. And I, and that's my story. It's like, you know, I got cut as a forward, but they brought me back as a goalie, but they never let me play. Like, the one game they let me play was an exhibition game. It didn't even count for anything. And they left me out to dry.
Wow.
Like, we lost. Like, I think we ended up losing 5-4. Because I think at some point, I think the coach told the team, it's like, all right, you guys got to actually play. Because you're leaving Mike out to dry. But it was like, yeah. There's a reason I didn't go back like for a year and a half. That was my sophomore year of high school. Then my senior year, halfway through the season, they asked me to be the backup goalie.
Right.
You know, because they needed a goalie because that team was actually going to go to the championship.
Right.
So they wanted to have a backup. And I was like, all right, I have a chance of possibly winning a championship. So screw it. I'll go for it. You know,
I kind of have a similar story with baseball, but let's not, you know.
No, share the story. Okay. We're talking about second chances here. We're talking about trying out for sports teams. I mean, Roger got to be captain of his second chance. I got screwed over as a third string goaltender.
Fair enough. I started Little League at T-ball, and I was a right fielder. And I was out there picking daisies, and, you know, my ADHD, basically my coaches thought I wasn't ever going to do anything. But they quickly realized, hey, I'm just out there bored off my butt, you know, not doing anything. So they actually, you know, once associates happened, which is like the pitching machine, then they brought me in to try and, you know, be a pitcher and a couple different things. And they tried me at like first base and shortstop and all this stuff. And I actually played third base for a while. But then I moved to Texas, and so I signed up for another team, and they were like, well, we're going to try out all these different positions. And I had never actually played as a catcher before. And so turns out I was actually a really good catcher. And I played on that team, and I was threatened with getting cut a couple times just because, you know, there was, I don't know, I don't know what the term is where it's like a father wants to put his son in or something like that. You know, companies are very.
I had plenty of that my sophomore year of high school in ice hockey. It was made known that I was never going to get the play because I was the poor kid on a rich kid team. Cause I went to Churchill High School, which was a rich kid high school, you know, and stuff like that. And like, yeah, like, I just remember, like, all the politics, and I actually got this is the funny thing. I got suspended a game. I still had to show up. Like, I showed up to every game. I just didn't dress for any of the games. I was suspended for a game because one of the goalies, both goalies, always bullied me. And they would, and, like, when you're not accustomed to playing a position, like, I mean, I had spent from like age 5 to age 14 playing forward, you know? So like, for like 9 years already, I had been playing as a forward, and actually more like 8 years I had been playing as a forward. And now I'm trying to play goalie. And for anyone who doesn't know, the skates that a goalie wears are so different from the skates of what a forward wears. Mm-hmm. There's different, the blades are duller. They're also lower. It's a different type of mold. And then you got to skate with those big pillows on your legs.
Right.
And like, imagine trying to like learn how to like get up and down and make the saves and all that other, and just skating around in general. It's really tough. And the two goalies, they would always like poke the back of my knees, and they like, eventually one of them just tripped me up, and I knew which one did it because he was the one laughing the hardest. And I just chased him. I just dropped the gloves, threw the mask off, and I start pummeling him. Wow. And everyone saw what happened and why I went off. And like, it was just one of those things where it's like, you can only take so much before you finally fight back. Mm-hmm. And like the coach is like, and I asked the coach, I was like, so what are you going to do to him for bullying me and pretty much setting me off? You know, it's like, and the coach is like, unfortunately, we can't do anything because of the money that they're donating to the team.
Ugh.
And I'm like, can you just give him another concussion or something, you know, so I could just be in play? But yeah, I got suspended a game for that.
That's awful.
And it was like, but I think I earned the respect of a lot of teammates because, like, I remember the captain of the team coming up to me, like, the next day in school going, hey, I'm sorry that happened to you, but I'm glad that you stood up for yourself finally because you've been taking a lot of it all season. So,
yeah.
So it's like, you know, it's like, yeah, violence is not the answer, but there has to come a point where you have to stand up for yourself from all the bullying. So,
yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, even so, like, I got cut as a forward, brought in as a third string goalie, bullied the entire season by the teammates. It wasn't a great experience. Roger got it better than I did, you know?
That sucks.
Yeah. But yeah, what else do you got on this episode?
Right. So, okay. So Goldar and Rita already have ideas on how to beat the Rangers based on that exchange. Enter Soccadillo. It's basically a soccer ball and an armadillo. Not the most creative thing ever, but also, like, I wouldn't have thought of it. So, hey, I don't know. So, of course, Bulk and Skull show up, and Bulk says he's an ace on the soccer field, which I have to say, look, shut up. Why would you even lie about that? It's the 90s in California. Soccer sucks right now. Why would you lie about that? You know?
Yeah.
If you're trying to be the cool kid, you're not going around bragging about, like, yeah, I'm a soccer whiz. Like, no. So Bull kicks the soccer ball, and it does this ping pong thing in the hallway, knocking papers out of Mrs. Appleby's hands and almost hitting her in the face. Bulk and Skull both get detention, but honestly, Skull really didn't do anything. He was just kind of standing there laughing. And here's the thing. I've been reading Go-Go Power Rangers this week, and I've been feeling kind of sorry for Skull as of late. Like, yeah, I know we've talked about this before, but Skull really doesn't deserve half the crap he gets. So, he's annoying, but he doesn't deserve it.
And like we've also have mentioned, like, several times on this show, who are the real bullies?
The Rangers.
Exactly. It ain't Bulk and Skull. It's really the Rangers.
Yeah. So, that's a little, what are you gonna do? So, Tommy's community carrier gets thrust into a wall during the soccer ball fiasco, and Zordon contacts Tommy afterwards, and it's like watching someone get a butt dial in 2020, where it was like, hey, Zordon, you contacted me? He's like, no, you contacted me. He's like, oh, okay, cool. He's like, all right, bye. I was like, what? Like, Zordon was almost just like, hey, homie, what's up? No, man, you contacted me. All right, cool. I'll holler at you later. Bye. Peace. Like, okay.
But it's even better sometimes when you get the butt dials and the other person doesn't know they butt dialed you.
Yeah. Oh, so you're just hearing all the static in the background. Can you imagine what that would have been for, like, Alpha 5? Like, Zordon, if, like, he didn't realize, like, he had gotten a call from Tommy. So, like, Tommy's just, like, listening on the communicator. And Zordon's just like, man, I really hope those guys don't die in battle. He's just like, what? What?
Well, no, technically speaking, if it was Tommy that contacted Zordon,
right,
it would be right, the other way around.
Hey, Tommy, I need to talk to you for a second. You were going on about Kim's butt. How it looked like a peach. Are you okay?
I don't understand this. But anyways, moving on. Going back to being a PG show.
Sorry. Okay, so Tommy's in class, and he gets his malfunctioning communicator taken away by Mrs. Appleby. And while they're in class, Jason and Zach are ditching class to teach soccer to Roger. Like, I assume they're in the same grade. Like, how is this happening in real time? Because the way the episode's framed is, like, Jason and Zach are out on the field. Meanwhile, Bulk, Skull, and Tommy are in class.
No,
Jason.
No, I think Bulk Skull and Jason, or I mean, not Jason, but Tommy are in detention.
Ah.
Because remember, Bulk and Skull are like watching TV and, you know, doing their thing, and like, you know, Tommy's trying to get the communicator back, and Bulk's like, I wouldn't do that if I were you, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're in detention. They're not in class.
Fair.
That would be a very interesting class for people to skip.
I'd be very interested. And, yeah, so let's see. So Alpha teleports Trini, Billy, and Kim to the park. Jason and Zach are fighting in, and puts them in a place to hide, only for Trini to stay behind with the kid, and, like, Kim and Billy immediately are just like, okay, we're going to hide. Let's fight.
here's the interesting thing. You know, as I mentioned in this fight, Kim kicks a putty in the butt and then kicks the other ones in the shins. Why is she fighting and not Trini?
Fair.
Nothing against Kim. Love the sass that she brings. Trini is a better fighter.
Yes, I completely agree. Wholeheartedly. You would argue Kim's a little more acrobatic, but still. Let's see here.
Yeah, but when you can have somebody who can kick somebody in the chest compared to somebody who kicks you in the shins, yeah. I'm going to take the person who can kick you in the chest.
So let's see here. So we get Combat, which is one of my favorite songs. I was actually jamming out to that the other day. And then one putty had Zach on his shoulders while Zach was doing kicks that, and that putty could have totally just given Zach a one-winged angel. You know what I mean? He could have literally just gone and just like, you know, but
it just ends Zach.
Yeah.
It's like, good night, Zach.
Like the Kenny Omega putty.
For those wondering who Kenny Omega is, he's a wrestler.
Yes.
For anyone who has not figured that out should know by now, because Ben and I do Awesome Mania together, and Brian is training to be a pro. Well, can't really train right now, but
apparently training's on Thursday. I don't know.
Good luck.
Thank you. So we get Sacadillo, but he's in a ball in a lot of these scenes. And I have to wonder, for this American footage, were we just not able to get the suit? Like, did they not just ship that over in time for us? Because I feel like they could make it the ball, but like they could make a paper mache ball, but they didn't get the Sacadillo suit. Let's see here. The overall fight scene at the very end, it was all right. It was kind of meh. I there wasn't enough for me to really pay attention to it. And then also the Bulk and Skull soccer ball ending, that's not how physics works, by the way. That whole thing with like the goo on the ball. I was like, that's not how that works. And like, also, why would a soccer ball to the face knock you out?
Actually, it can be pretty easy to knock somebody out with a soccer ball to the face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I've never been knocked out with a soccer ball. I mean, I've not been knocked out with like a basketball to the face, but
I mean it depends on how you get hit with it.
Yeah.
I mean, because keep in mind, one way or the other, you're still getting hit in the face with something. It depends on how hard it's coming at you and stuff like that. Like if somebody like you have like one of these Major League Soccer or Premier League players.
Oh, well, like, sure.
Yeah, you kick it, you know, full force and it hits you in the face. Yeah, that's going to knock you out.
Yeah, but like for like you and me, I'm like, no, that wouldn't do much damage.
Maybe for me, because I've had eight documented concussions, but
that sucks. I don't know. Did the fight scene do anything for you in this episode?
Not really. I mean, not really. Although we got to talk about this. Because you kind of skipped this part. Tommy gets his communicator back. It's still malfunctioning. But yet he yells, it's morphin time, really, really loud in the school hallway after he leaves detention. Bulk, Skull, and Miss Appleby can easily hear Tommy go, it's morphin time.
Yeah.
What was rule number one? I mean, keep your identity a secret.
I mean, believe me, that happens a lot in these last episodes. Like, you know, not to skip ahead, but at the French restaurant, I mean, like, they're literally, like, right out front, and, like, it's an open-air building, and, like, there's a lot of traffic there. I'm like, why didn't you go somewhere else to morph?
Yeah. So, or as Ben has been saying, you have the ability to teleport. Use it.
Yep.
So yeah, that was a second chance. Got a 6.7 out of 10 on the IMDb's and clocked in at 21 minutes and 21 seconds. So I guess we're not getting 20/20 vision on that one, are we?
Nope.
But don't tish. So with that, we're moving on to our next episode, which is on Fins and Needles. And everyone, once again, it's that time for everyone's segment, In My Mind, the quick run through, which we are at the youth center. Tommy and Jason are teaching a karate class, to which then after class, they are attacked by putties. Tommy catches the Fin and so does Jason, and a spell takes place to make them enemies. Back at school, Trini and Kim notice the issues between them. Bulk and Skull try to trigger a fist fight between the two, and Rita is pleased because the plan is going according to plan. At the youth center, Bulk and Skull are promoting the fight between Tommy and Jason. Zach tries to break it up, but is unsuccessful until Zordon contacts them. At the command center, the Rangers are briefed. Tommy and Jason morph into action. They struggle as individuals, and they start working together, and they break the spell. Good job, guys. Now the others morph into action. Rita makes the monster grow before the Rangers can shoot the Mega Blaster, and it's Zord time. Back at the youth center, Jason and Tommy are teaching their class. The others reflect, and then Bulk and Skull arrive in disarray. And that was on Fins and Needles.
It was. It absolutely was. So this was originally aired on May 5th, 1994. It was written by Douglas Sloan and directed by Worth Keeter. The villain, of course, is Slippery Shark. So some notes. First and foremost, Billy's fear of fish from Something's Fishy is mentioned. That was one of the first episodes I ever did with you guys. Slippery Shark appears again in A Real Fish Story, but is called Shark Monster instead.
Hooray, Shark Monster! Yay. Whatever you were.
So this is the first time a monster puts a spell on two Rangers to ruin their friendship. This is something that would be repeated in the future. The second time that Tommy has been put under spell, by the way, see Green with Evil. And it's funny because it's well known that Jason David Frank and Austin St. John do not like each other at all.
Okay, first off, that is still pure speculation because neither of them has actually said so publicly.
Fair.
That is pure speculation. And not only that, but here's the other thing. You know, we've met both of them.
Yes.
We have both seen what have been sold on their tables.
Yeah.
And it is photos of the two of them together. If they really did not like each other, they wouldn't be having photos of them together on the table available for people to buy to get autographed. There would be no Zio Jason or Tommy Red Ranger, Jason Gold Ranger photo, duo photo for you to buy at Austin St. John's table. There wouldn't be, you know, Tommy Green Ranger, Jason Red Ranger, you know, thing, you know, at Jason's table. You know, and not only that, but it also kind of goes, yeah, well, what about when you saw them at the Power Rangers movie premiere in 2017? You had David Yost, Walter Jones, Austin St. John, and Jason David Frank all together for photo ops, and they're having a good time. Again, it's strictly speculation. I mean, yeah, could there have been issues in the past? Sure. Could they have worked them out? Definitely. But to go, oh, well, these two hate each other, that is just pure speculation. And let's end that nonsense, because I know it's a big, massive thing online.
Right.
Sorry for the rant. I just really need to get that rant. You set me up for it perfectly, so I'm so sorry. But no, go ahead with the notes, bud.
All right, so still going on about a few things here. So Tommy threatens that if he defeats the monster first, he'll become the leader of the Power Rangers, which ironically happens in White Light the next season.
This is also partly because of Austin St. John's pay dispute making him leave the show.
Yeah, but you're jumping so far ahead of yourself right now.
I know.
Focus on this episode, not the future episodes.
I'm pulling notes that were on this episode.
Yeah.
So there are some similar plot points in just in case anybody's watching some more like current seasons and they want an episode that's kind of like this. There's a similar plot point in Power Ranger Megaforce, United We Stand, and Dino Charge, No Matter How You Slice It episodes. So this has been used a couple times. So first and foremost, out of all the dialogue in the first 2 minutes, it sounds like a commercial for Dare. You know what I mean? It's like, wow, karate is such a great way to, you know, focus and keep people out of, you know, trouble. And I was like, I've seen this before. Like, I've seen this crap before. which it's good. It's like a youth advocacy. It's like a youth advocacy program from the 1990s, where it's like, hey kids, you need to, you know, keep your nose clean and, you know.
I recently found my Dare shirt.
Did you?
Yeah. Do they still do that?
No. I don't think they do. There's actually a real fast, just as a sideways, there's actually a episode of Adam Ruins Everything where he talks about how Dare was a massive failure.
Oh.
So if not Power Rangers related at all, but if you're into that at all, check it out. I think it's on like TBS. So also Rita's whole plan this time is these two friends, let's make them hate each other. And, you know, some would argue that that actually worked in real life, but again, we just had that whole rant from you. So there's a fight scene at a playground, which is classic MMPR. Actually kind of reminds me of the playground I grew up on at my elementary school, because it's like orange and blue. Tommy and Jason almost fight in the hallway after Bulk and Skull, you know, they kind of pester them and whatnot. And honestly, this is the best acting I've seen all far this season. Even Bulk backs off, and he knows he kind of, you know, screwed up after Miss Appleby breaks up the fight. And so we get our first look at Slippery Shark, by the way, and I'm pretty certain he was made into a toy. Because I looked at him and I was like, he's got to be an evil mutant.
Maybe. Possibly was.
Let's see. So we get it later in the episode. Bulk and Skull are selling tickets for the Jason Tommy match. And I wondered, is it going to top the greatest match of all time we just had recently? Probably not.
For those of you wondering, because this is like October at this point when this episode airs, Brian is referring to a wrestling match that took place on Backlash in WWE in June.
Yep. Edge and Randy Orton.
Yep. You remember, we're recording on June 30th. This episode is dropping some point in October.
Hopefully we get to trick or treat by this time. Hi, everybody. Your costume looks wonderful. I love it.
We love your Halloween costumes. Keep up the great work.
Yep. Keep away the Mike and Ikes. I don't want them.
I will definitely take your Mike and Ikes.
Yeah. Well, based on name alone.
I just like the fruity candy. Shut up. Go on with your notes.
It's licorice, man. Ew.
No, okay, you're thinking of Good and Plenty's.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Good and Plenty's is the licorice candy. Mike and Ikes is the fruity candy.
That's right. My bad.
Schmuck.
Okay, so this fight is happening at Ernie's Juice Bar, and they're fighting on these.
How did Ernie approve this?
Ernie's nowhere to be found. I'm pretty certain Bulk and Skull just kind of were like, all right, he's gone. All right, everybody come in.
It's more like Bulk and Skull like tied him up behind the bar or something. It's like, all right, we got him out of the way. Let's have this fight.
Yeah. So they're fighting on these really, really thin gymnastic pads. You know what I mean? Like they're like maybe an inch thick, maybe 2 inches thick. Yep. And I've wrestled on those before, man. And those things are not going to protect you, especially if you're taking like, you know, falls the way that you're going to be taking a fall. So obviously they get beeped and they have to go morph, and Bulk and Skull are kind of left with like, you know, everybody wanting their money back, which I'm like, yeah, you kind of did that to yourself, guys. Jason and Tommy morph because they have to work on this thing together. They can't have any of the other Rangers working together with them. And we get a, let's see here.
Oh, yeah. So we get a shot of the weird Velcro-esque Green Ranger shield first, and then we cut to the Zio Ranger 2 footage where, like, the shield is, like, actually made of, like, you know, like, decent materials. So Jason and Tommy come to terms with each other, and Tommy catches Slippery Shark in a net. The net happens to be green, by the way. Nice touch.
Yep.
Trust the Ranger fisherman. The high five scene, by the way, in the Blue Globe was American footage, but then they cut right back to Zio Ranger 2 footage. And did they not get a high five shot in Japan? Like, Saban had to be sending Toei a shot list, right? Like, I feel like, I don't know. Did they just miss out on that? Like, or, hey, sorry, there's this thing called a high five. It's like, what's a high five? You know what? Never mind. We'll do it over here. This Zord fight, by the way, was dumb. It was dumb. I thought this was the dumbest Zord fight I've ever seen. So Slippery Shark misses the blast from the Power Blaster, which comes from the wrong angle. He grows up. Megazord and Dragonzord are summoned, and Slippery Shark just, like, ducks underneath and runs around both of them. He's just kind of, like, ducking and then, like, running and then, like,
he's just dodging and weaving.
And like, I was like, it's like, okay, I get it. He's slippery. This is dumb. Like, they're not doing anything. And, like, it's, and it would be one thing if they did, like, a shot of this for, like, 30 seconds. This felt like a minute and a half. And I was like, okay, my brain is turning to mush. Why are they still focusing on this?
Why am I crying blood? What am I watching?
Like, I straight up, I wrote a note here. I said, he's less a villain and more of a toddler refusing to take a bath. he gets killed way too easily, too, and there's no Rita with the headache either. And then, obviously, Tommy and Jason go back to teaching the classes and everything's all right. And, you know,
everything's honky-dory again.
Trini, Kim, Billy, and Zach are on the sidelines. Like, they're really, really close to them and just going, like, yeah, it's really good that they're working together again. And that's how the episode ends.
Yeah.
That Slippery Shark, I mean, I honestly think that the stuff with Red and Green was cool, but then, like, everything with the Zords was just...
Yeah, I think that, and it kind of reflects in the score, because, like, the whole point of the whole Tommy Jason thing was about, God bless you, Brian. Brian, stop sneezing. But I think the whole point of the whole Tommy Jason story is what the whole thing was about. It wasn't about the Zord battle or anything like that. It was really about the whole them working together to break this spell. And that's why on IMDb, it has a 7.8 out of 10 score. And it clocked in at 21 minutes and 19 seconds. And so with that, Brian, where can the people find you on the social medias?
Y'all can find me on Twitter at One Drunk Geek, where I post updates on the show that I do, which is also called One Drunk Geek, where I've worked on the 100 craft beers that you need to try before you die. I'm also on castwavestudios.com. You can see me on BGN Weekly. We've done many episodes over the past 10 years, so please give that a look. And you can also find me on Instagram at Draken22. I post photos and stuff and, you know, cosplay stuff. So,
all right. And you can follow me on the Twitters at TheLindenbaum75, Facebook at Facebook.com/X75Productions. And, of course, everything for me is on the website at TXHTHockey.com. And for the show specifically, which is VFTG. Which is the call letters for Voices from the Grid. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls.
So until next time, grab your morphers.
And may the power protect you.